Now I really could read this whole passage, and we read it last time. I hate to go back and read again, but let me pull out just a few little passages and read to you. I want to start in verse number 9, read just a few verses. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lady and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised and the part thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenicia and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purposes, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But then I want to jump down verse 21. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearken unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we was driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. Then verse number 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. Now, if you would pray with me and for me tonight, I certainly stand in need of your prayer. So please pray for me. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight. And Lord, you know I'm nothing. You know my inabilities. You know how pitiful I am. But Lord, you've called me and placed me in this work. And here's these little sheep that need to be fed, Lord. And I just ask you to feed them, Father. And just let me be your mouthpiece and say what you want said. And Lord, help us now. Manifest your presence among us. Just do in our midst what needs doing. I love you, Lord. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for keeping power. I thank you for searching me out and saving me one day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessings of life. Help us now. Lord, if there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, please refrain it for a few minutes. And just let us focus on you and what you would have for us, and do the work that needs doing, and above all things, be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, I do pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, we're back at the chapter 27, I guess the third storm that's mentioned in the New Testament. We had the storm of Jesus coming up out of the being awake from sleep and rising up and saying, "Peace, be still." And that storm, he stilled the storm. Then, of course, the other storm, Jesus came walking to them on the water, and when he got in the boat, they just were at land. Didn't say anything about him stilling the storm. They just ended up at the land. And so he got them through the storm and helped them through it, but he didn't still the storm in that case. Now, those storms really, they happened in obedience to the Lord. If you go back and study, though, they were doing what the Lord told them to do. We might say they were unavoidable storms. And this storm that we're looking at tonight, I may have said something wrong the other night. It's avoidable and it's unavoidable. And some storms of life, they're just unavoidable. They can't be helped. Just the two we talked about, they're unavoidable storms. If you're going to be right with God, there's just going to be storms in life. And you have to understand that. Job said this, and I know he's talking about trouble, not storms, but many times they go hand in hand. He said, "Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of troubles." And many times those troubles come through storms in our life. The Christian life is a life of storms. And we talked about that and said much about that. And we talked about on the last, about this storm, for Paul it was unavoidable. Now Julius, he could have avoided the situation. Had he listened to the man of God, he could have avoided that storm. But for the Apostle Paul, under the authority of Julius, there was nothing he could do but go through the storm. And so many times, storms come in our life because of the decisions of someone close to us. Isn't that right? I mean, let me just stop and talk to you young people a minute. Every decision you make will affect your parents' lives. That's right. You can take them, if I could just say it, you can take them through hell itself based on decisions you make. And I've seen that in many parents' lives. The children took their parents through the storm with them. Parents wouldn't have went that route, but the children. And I've seen it vice versa. I've seen it reverse, where the parent, maybe a drinking alcoholic daddy or something like that, took his children through the storms that those children would have never went through had it not been for their parent. And so we understand this thing about storms, but here's where I want to kind of go tonight. It's not so much the fact that you're going to go through storms. The fact of the matter is every one of us is going to have our turn going through the storms of life. That's just how it is. But the successful Christian, the Christian that lives victoriously, he learns what he has to do in those storms. My, you have to learn, you have to know what the Lord wants you to do in those storms if you're going to be successful. Now, we could say this, a lot of reasons why the Holy Spirit gave a whole chapter to this storm. You look at that, we go down through verse 44. Well, 44 verses, a whole chapter of the book of Acts is given to this storm. Why is that? I always wonder about that. You look in the Word of God, and maybe somebody you think ought to have all kinds of writing about them. You see very little sometimes. And then somebody you think maybe much, there's not much that ought to be said. The Word of God will just expound at length on them. I thought about the man Stephen. My, you would think there ought to be three or four chapters about Stephen. But the fact of the matter is, they just give his message there. really very little said about him. But here we have a whole chapter. It seems the Holy Spirit is putting an emphasis on this storm. And one of the reasons I think he may be is because in this storm we see the response of a godly leader. We see the response of a godly leader. And we were talking about previously out of this text, the road to disaster. We mentioned several things that happened that led them to this disaster. And so as we look at this tonight, I want us to think about leadership. I say there's one thing that we need in our Baptist churches today. It's godly leadership. I believe that. Let me just stop a minute, and I'm not trying to pick on pastors. I'm not trying to do that at all. But can I tell you, a lot of the problems that we identify in the pulpit, in the pew, can really be traced back to the pulpit. You can say amen or you can say whatever. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me for a little while tonight. I believe that. I believe that it'll be very hard for God's people to go any higher than the leadership they're under. And if you're a godly leader in this church, I want to say to you, there are some high responsibilities that go with that. There's people looking at your life and depending on you to set a godly example for them to follow. And so I just want to talk to you, and really I was just going to kindly talk to you tonight more than preach to you, but I want to look at some truths about this thing of godly leadership. And my, when we look at the storm, I want to say this: a storm doesn't necessarily make you what you are, but it really brings out who you already are. That's right. If you look in this passage, through this storm, we see some sailors selfishly trying to escape for their own personal benefit at the loss of others. And that storm brought that out in their life. Storms can bring selfishness out in the lives of God's people. And then the soldiers, they wanted to kill the prisoners. My, they was afraid they would escape. The centurion, he refused to kill the prisoners because of his care for Paul. And on, you could take each character and you could see what this storm drew out of their life. And so we could go that route. But then I just want to say another truth that I see before we get started. They wouldn't have escaped this storm had it not been for the godly leader Paul. Let me just slow up just a little bit. Had it not been for Paul, they would have died. They would have shipwrecked. There would have been the loss of lives. And I want to say that to the Sunday school teachers and to the leaders of this church. There's lives at stake based on what y'all do. It's just how it is. And it's a heavy load. If you really stop and think that what we do and the stand we take has eternal consequences, could affect where souls can spend eternity. We live loose and we set that example before these young folk. They grow up, they live loose. And my, there's just far-reaching implications. It's such a serious matter. It's such a serious thing to be a leader in the work of the Lord. And my, we ought to take it that way. Had the Apostle Paul not been who he was, not been the godly man he was, they very well could have been some casualties in this storm. And so I just want to challenge you, leaders, please take the work of the Lord serious. I think about all the great undertakings, the great buildings that's been built, the roads, it's a highway system across our nation, all the great undertakings. But there's no greater work than the work of the Lord. No greater work, no, nothing with more, with greater consequences, both positively and negatively, than the the work of the Lord. And you ought to take it serious. It ought to be dead serious to us tonight. And so we see this, had it not been for the godly leader, they would have been some casualties. And then we see, I want you to see this too before we get started. Paul started out as a captive, but he ended up the commander. That's right. When he started out, he wasn't the leader. When we finish up, he's in charge. He's calling the shots. He's making the decisions. And can I say, they're listening to him. And my, how did he go from there to here? What was it? Here he was, just a captive, just a prisoner on his way to jail. But before he gets through, he's running the show. Whatever he says, they do it. If he says something, they believe it. They listen to him. My, what happened? I mean, how did he do that? And so I want to talk to our leadership tonight, really to Christians in general. It applies to every one of us, but I want us just to consider some things that we see about the Apostle Paul. Number one, he accepted the circumstances of life that came his way. So many times, circumstances dictate who we are, how we live, whether we're down or up or in or out or however it is, we let circumstances dictate to us. I'm telling you, in this work of the Lord, if we'll get close to God and stay close to Him, He can give us victory irregardless of the circumstances. That's right. I want to say to our leaders, if you're always about circumstances, you'll never be very effective, because circumstances come and go. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I used to, if the crowd was off, I was tore up. And then if we had a big crowd, I was sky high. One day it dawned on me, the crowd's going to be low some days, crowd's going to be high some days, but you just got a work to do, and you just steadily go about doing the work of the Lord. And I want to say to you teachers and you deacons, sometimes things goes good, sometimes things goes bad, sometimes at home it's going right, sometimes the kids are doing well, sometimes they're not. But I'm telling you, there's one sitting on the throne tonight. He's still in control. He's still sitting. He's not running his hands through his hair saying, "Oh man, what am I going to do next?" You know what he's saying? Right on target, right on time, right on schedule. I'm saying to you, you and I, if he's satisfied, we ought to be satisfied. Amen. I'm convinced that we're too up and down as God's people. You see, Paul appears to be in control of his emotions. There's a word we use called meekness. And meekness, a lot of folks think that just means passive, not angry. And there's some aspect of that, but if I understand meekness right, it's having control of your emotions. Not being easily stirred that your emotions get out of control. And so I'm saying to you that God, here was the Apostle Paul, and he appears to have been in control emotionally. Now the fact of the matter is, he has been wrongfully put in jail. He's an innocent man. He's on his way to Rome. And as far as he knows, he may lose his head, but he's at peace with the situation. I mean, he has control of himself. Now you look at this particular passage, you do not sense him being angry. You do not sense him being defeated. You do not sense him be disappointed or dejected or fearful or withdrawn or bitter or whatever emotion you can think of. It's not as if, hey, I've been done wrong. This ain't right. I can't believe you're taking me to Rome. Hey, this ain't right. I'm telling you, this ain't right. You're doing me. even though it was so. He was being done wrong. He had control of his emotions. And Mike, can I just stop and say this to the leadership of this church? You need to be in control of your emotions. Much has been done in an emotional outburst to the harm of the cause of Christ. That's right. We react instead of act. Amen. You get angry in this church, you know what you ought to do? Now listen, we ain't had no outbursts. I'm not preaching at anybody. But I'm saying if you come to this church next week, somebody gets in your face and says something that angers you and upsets you, you ought not just blow up. You know what you ought to do if you can't control yourself? Can I just tell you? Go out there and get in your car and drive to the house and stay there till you calm down and you get control of yourself and you get right with God. Give it to God. He does fight our battles for us, doesn't he do that? Isn't that what he said? He said, I'll fight your battles. Vengeance belongeth to me. Pray for your enemies and love them and all those things. And let me take care. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so you and I as leadership and really as Christians, don't try to fight your own battles. You'll mess up. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's in control. He's not emotional. He's not tore up. A godly leader, let me say this, a godly leader cannot allow circumstances to overcome his self-control. He can't do it. He'll be defeated. He'll be defeated. And so, otherwise, you're just on a spiritual roller coaster ride. You're high one day and you're low the next. You've seen folks like that, haven't you? I mean, they just can't get control. And you know what we need in this church? Steadfast leadership. Day in, day out, carrying out the work of the Lord, irregardless of the circumstances that come and go. They're just rock solid serving the Lord. That's where the Apostle Paul was. And so first I see a man who accepted the circumstances and had an emotional control. And he had a good reason. In one way we could say he had a good reason to be angry. He had a good reason to be defiant and maybe even defeated or disappointed or dejected. But he refused that. And how did he do that, by the way? How is it, you think, the Apostle Paul, how was it that he just kept being steady for the glory of God? I'm going to tell you, he had a few things in his mind. And I know we don't have this, most of us, but it'd be good if we did. Paul didn't count his life important. You know what he said? To die is gain. He said, me living's not gain to me, but if I die, that's gain. Now, he'd been caught up to the third heaven, seen things, I guess, which wasn't lawful for us, for him to utter. And seemed like after that, he just didn't care. I mean, he knew what was waiting on the other side for him. And he said this, to die is gain. And he counted, you know what he said? I count all these things lost. Those things that used to be important, they're just lost to me. My gain, Christ. You know what he said in another place? He said, I've learned to be content whatever state I'm in. So, you know, it doesn't always go good, but wouldn't it be good if we could just learn to be content? Just knowing God's in control, God's doing work, and if God wants you to go through or face or endure whatever it is, you know he loves you too much to do you wrong, and he's just doing a work of some kind in your life. Wouldn't that make it a whole lot easier if we could look at things like that? I want to ask you, if you're going through a hardship tonight, is the Lord doing a work in your life? Is he taking you through that storm because he's molding and shaping you and doing in your life what needs doing? Is he taking you through that storm so you can glorify and exalt Christ like the Apostle Paul's getting ready to. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was not troubled over his, he did not allow his circumstances to trouble him or to rob him of his peace and his joy and his contentment. But then I want you to see something else that the apostle, that we see about this fellow. Verse number 10. And you would think the Apostle Paul, one of the great preachers, maybe the greatest preacher outside the Lord Jesus Christ there ever was, you'd think he'd have total respect. You'd think everybody'd look up to him and say, "Now, preacher, what do you think about the situation? What do you think we ought to do?" Did you know nobody asked Paul anything? Do you know nobody said to Paul, "Hey, Paul, now I know this is what these guys say, but you're close to God. I want you to tell me what you think about it." Nobody asked the Apostle Paul. You think that tore him up? I don't think it did. Now, here's what I want to do when people do me like that, when I know people better than they, than anybody else and better than other people that's giving them advice, I just want to stand back and say, "Okay, buddy, go at it. You just go at it and see what's going to end up." You know, and that's the flesh. That's not a godly attitude. That's a fleshly attitude. What I'm really saying, what I'm really doing is whining because I wasn't respected and my opinion wasn't asked. That's old flesh. That's old baby attitude if you really want to get down to it. And many times we're like that, aren't we? Here's the Apostle Paul. Nobody asked him his opinion, but he went ahead and gave it anyways. You know what I thought of when I read that? I thought about where he said, "I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you." I mean, if it's profitable, whether you want to hear it or whether you don't want to hear it, I've not kept it back. I've told you. And here's something that would have been profitable to these men had they heeded it. And the Apostle Paul, they didn't ask his opinion. He was disrespected, I guess, as a man of God. But he didn't let it hurt his feelings. And my, you ought not let it hurt your feelings when folk don't cater to you and uplift you like you think they ought to. So many times what that really is just old pride getting in your way. I'm saying to you, dear leaders of this church, humble yourself down, and if you've got a good word from God, give it whether they want to hear it or not. Amen. Well, I know that don't go over too well most of the time. It didn't hear. The Apostle Paul just said, "Now look, if you travel, this boy's going to be much hurt." Now here's what I've been saying. Well, if I say that to them, they'll think I'm self-serving. They'll think I'm just saying that so I won't have to go to Rome. And I guess it crossed Paul's mind, and maybe Julius thought that. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, he was telling them the truth. And you and I ought to just stand for the truth, irregardless of what people think. Sometimes I say this, you'd be a lot better off if you'd listen to the man of God. You'd heed what the man of God said, save you a lot of trouble. Hey, this church needs to take care of the man of God. I've said that before, and here's what the devil says. You're just trying, they just think you're trying to say that to look after yourself. And I was talking this morning, many times the Lord puts a message on my heart, and I know it's going to cut somebody in the congregation, because I know y'all. And you know me. And many times God will put something on my heart and the devil will say, they'll think you're preaching at them. And what I want to do when that comes along, I want to skip that part. Because I don't want y'all to think you're my friends. Fact of the matter is, I'm probably as close to this little group of people as I am anybody. But the fact of the matter is, I have an allegiance to the Lord. If I'm going to be what I ought to be, I have to preach what He gives me, whether it's whatever you think about it. I just have to preach it. I have to do it. And if I know it's going to cut you, I hate it. It hurts me thinking you might think bad of me. But the fact of the matter is, I just have to preach what God gives me, and you have to deal with it. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he was giving a message. He was telling them what they didn't want to hear. He was telling them something that they no doubt thought was self-serving. He was sharing things that really they hadn't even asked him anything. And he's preaching to them. And I'm telling you, you and I have to stand for the truth if the stars in heaven fall. We have to stand for what's right and do right and declare the truth no matter what the consequence is. Amen. Well, that don't go over so well, Lord. I got a few more amens on that than that. That's right. It's so. Hey, if the church is the pillar and ground of the... Now listen, I understand the baby principle. You don't ram meat down a baby's throat. I'm not talking about that. But I'm telling you, we've got to stand against sodomy. Amen. This world went crazy over the issue of sodomy. Our nations went stark raving mad over the issue of sodomy. But the bottom line truth, that sodomy is a sin in the eyes of God. It's an abomination, if I can say it that way. And it doesn't matter who approves it. It doesn't matter who puts their sanction on it. The Word of God says it's a sin. And we Two members have showed me where some churches fearful of being in a lawsuit were changing their bylaws to conform to society. And maybe it will come to that. I don't know. But the bottom line is you and I as leaders in the house of God must stand for the truth, irregardless of the consequences. That's where we're at. I know though those that other side, they're intimidating and they are confrontational. I know we have to be loving and kind. We have to maintain the fruit of the Spirit, but we must stand for the truth. That's what he did. He declared truth to them. My Paul, he was not troubled about his lack of respect, but he just declared the truth. And even though no one asked his opinion, he still declared the truth. I'm afraid we've been silent way too long. I don't mean just be arrogant and pompous and all those things. I don't mean that, but shouldn't if the world's going to stand for error, shouldn't God's people stand for truth? What's wrong with us? We have the truth, and really, we're non-confrontational. I understand that. We don't want to upset nobody, and I don't either. But the fact of the matter, we've been called to hold the truth high. We're the pillar and ground, the truth. What's wrong with us? My, the Apostle Paul, and you know what he was really doing? He was positioning himself. He's not in leadership at this point. He's positioning himself to earn respect with those he's dealing with. He's positioning himself, if I could just say it this way, for future acceptance. Can I tell you, leader, something? Not everybody's going to accept you. Do you know, really, I can't pastor. They're not going to have what I say. It don't matter. They're smarter than me and they're mine. They know more. Fact of the matter is, I can't pastor. I don't used to. That used to tear me up, but the fact of the matter is, it don't bother me. I'm going to help who I can help. And if I can't help them, they need to go where they can get help. I've actually told folks that, hey, if you can't line up and submit and get with us, what you need to do is find you a pastor you can do that with. Isn't that right? That's right. This church isn't for everybody. Why, these folks see our style of worship and we think we're some kind of nuts when it gets on around here. They just think that. But the fact of the matter is, it suits me. I like it. It's good. I mean, I have to have that every now and then. And I need to be around that crowd that worships like we do. And if it's not there, I get concerned about it. That ain't that way with everybody. There's that crowd that they do things different. And I could throw off on them and I could say this or that about them. But the fact of the matter is, they worship a little different. And they may be good folk, but they just have little different. And they couldn't line up behind my leadership. And that don't make them bad people. Don't make me a bad leader. We're just different. And so Paul, these folks wasn't listening to Paul. But can I tell you this? If you're the right kind of man, they may not listen to you today, but give them a little bit of track record down the road, they may. You know, because I've been here as long as I have, these people way back when I first came here wouldn't listen to me. Today, I have more respect from them. And really, it's not a nickel's worth of difference. Maybe I'm a little older and a little slower, I guess, but there's not a whole lot of difference. But now they'll listen because I've been here long enough, and they've watched and they've seen a few things, and they have a little bit more respect for me. Paul didn't have respect when he started, but when he got through, he did. You know why? He stood for what was right. He declared the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're a fake, people see right through it. That's right. People see right through a fake. You know it well as I do. And if you're playing with the Lord, you're playing games with Him, it won't be long till it'll show up and get by. Well, here he is, and I've gotten way off my message. Let me just get back on it. He positioned himself for future acceptance by those around him. Every successful spiritual leader has to do that. You're not going to have the acceptance today you'll have 10 years from today if you're faithfully doing what you're supposed to do. That's just how it is. We have some credibility in this community because of the time we've been here. We wouldn't have if we hadn't faithfully labored for the glory of God. You've got to get that, leaders. You've got to understand that. You just get in the work of the Lord and faithfully keep going. Keep a good attitude. Stand for the truth. Preach the truth. They may not listen to you for a long time, but someday they might. Someday God may just orchestrate things and, hey, they need the man of God. And they'll call. Hey, these people calls me up, ask me to preach funerals. They wouldn't have called me up 5 years ago, I don't guess. What do you say? I'm saying we have. If we're going to be what we ought to be, we're going to have to be steadfast even in the storms. You've got to be there, church. You've got to be there. You've got to be there. And so we see he positioned himself for future acceptance. He declared the truth. And then I want you to notice this in verse 21. If you were to read verse 14 down through verse 20, you'd see that they could not bar up under the wind. They let her dry. They just turned loose. They undergirded the ship, verse 17. They lightened the ship in verse 18. The third day they cast out the tackling of the ship. All hope in verse 20 was taken away. They were doing. What does the Apostle Paul do? Can I tell you what he done? He got away and got in the prayer closet. Amen. I want to tell you leaders something. If there's one thing you folks that's in leadership around here, if there's one thing that would speak of the existence of this church and the furtherance of it, can I tell you what's affected this church more than any one thing? Prayer. We don't pray right. I know we don't. Because it is so powerful, I think that's what the devil fights the most in our life. Now, many of you would say this. I start to say most of you, maybe not, but many of you would say this. The first thing that starts to slip my spiritual life is my prayer life. That's so in my life. Way before my reading ever slips, my prayer life starts slipping. I suspect that's so with many of us. Can I say to you, prayer is key. Now this church could probably go on without maybe the deacon that's done so well, or maybe without these singing groups, or maybe without these Sunday school teacher or the pastor. It can't go on without praying people. It can't go on. Church, I don't know how to emphasize that to you. If the Holy Spirit don't put it on your heart to pray for this church, can I tell you, it'll fall apart one day. I'm telling you, your pastor needs prayer. This church needs prayer. The people in this church needs prayer. We need to be bombarding heaven with our prayers. I don't know. I think the greatest people has to be the prayer warriors. Nobody pats them on the back. Nobody knows that they're the ones doing anything, but they faithfully pray and hold God's man up, hold the church up. And when the storms of life are raging, and my, as they so often do, they're in their prayer closet begging God to give them direction and answers and help them get through the storm. That's what will get the job done. Here's the Apostle Paul. By the way, leaders, you'll never be a leader if you're not a praying person. You'll never amount to much of anything. And my, I feel like the pot calling the kettle black tonight. I seem to fail so much in my prayer life. I'm streaky with it. I'll go a while, do so well, and just seem like things will just mess me up. And I know some of you can relate to that. But I can tell you, when you get sideways on your prayer life, you better make an adjustment as quick as you can. You better get back, as Brother Sammy Allen says, get back in the secret place. Get back there and begin to talk to God and get around God. That's what Paul did. My, here's Paul, and he was more confident in the power of prayer than the works of man. And I want to tell you, I'm confident of that. I know we can, and we're into something all the time. You know that, just a meeting or a visitation or this or that, and really not as much as we used to be, but we're still busy a lot. And I understand that. But can I tell you, we'd do a lot better off if we'd pray more and let God work and us just wait on Him to do what He wants to do. I know we have to do our part, but I'm telling you, here's the Apostle Paul. All hope was gone. You know what he did? He slipped in the prayer closet. Stayed in the prayer closet. I want to ask you, is hope gone? Is there an aspect of your life, and you just have to say this to me, preacher, there's no hope. Maybe a child, maybe a health issue. I've got a wife that's sick. And the devil says this to me, there's no hope. There's no hope she's going to get better. But you know what I do, just as faithful as I do pray? Say, oh God, touch my wife, and if it's your will, heal her up. I just keep her. The devil says it's no use, but it may not be the will of the Lord to heal her, but if she's not healed, it's not going to be because I'm not asking Him to. I'm going to pray that way. And every one of you's got things in your life that you'd just be honest. You'd say, preacher, it looks like all hope's gone. But can I tell you something? Just keep praying. Just keep calling out to God. The storms may be raging. You may feel like you need to take things into your own hands. But just pray. Just seek God. Oh my, that's what this leader did. He's starting to rise to the front now. He's disrespected, but now he's got along with God. And guess what else he's got? He's got a word from God. My, when you get along with God, there'll be some power. You'll get there. You'll not get anywhere else. I've been so troubled, slipping my prayer closet. Feel like I can't go on, can't face another day. Slip in my prayer closet, begin to pray, and before I get through, man, I feel like I could charge hell. You say, what was that? That's the power of prayer. That's what God can do in our lives, in our hearts. He can't do that in your life. He's no respecter of person. When you can't go on and the storms are raging and it all looks hopeless, hey, can I tell you how you ought to respond? Leaders, can I tell you what the godly response is? Slip in your prayer closet and stay with God till you get a word from God and He'll help you through. Oh, my. I wanted to talk about this when I opened up, how one man can affect the lives of so many during the storm. One man. Nobody else was praying. Nobody else took time out to pray. But here's a man that did. He took time out and he began to pray. He was confident in prayer. I could give you all kinds of scriptures. We know where to pray without ceasing. We know men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Matthew 7:7 says this. Asking, and I understand we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. We might assume it of our own lust. But Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Asked one of our preachers the other day, I said, you reckon why we don't have more opportunities to serve God? Because we've not been knocking. I just wonder, that knocking usually results in an open door, doesn't it? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I just wonder that. Been a long time since I asked the Lord to enlarge my coast. Been a long time. I just wonder what He might do with us if we really ask Him to. Folks, can I just camp out? I know this message isn't about prayer, but I'd sure like to just drive this little truth home. There's nothing more important than praying. I'm going to say it again. You've probably been waiting on me to say it. If you're not praying, you're playing. It's just so. I don't know how to say it any other way. And really, we've got people playing. I mean, I hate it, but it's just this. It's so. We've got to be a praying people. He was a praying man. And then after he prayed, you know what he done to them? He preached to them again. He started giving the word of the Lord. Hey, the angel stood by me this night. He told me I was going to Rome and all y'all was going to be safe and we could be of good cheer. He started preaching to them. He said, hey, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. I'm going to tell you, church, there's a world of people going through storms. You can give them a good word. You can get along with God. Help them along the way. You see, Paul's preaching again. You say, well, he ought to have been offended. They wouldn't listen at him previously. He's about the truth. He's about helping people. He's a bigger man than just being a little shallow somebody. He's still declaring truth. My, I want to say this to you. The Bible, you know this. The Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's be faithful in the storms, church. Be faithful. 2 Timothy 4:2, the apostles getting ready to die. And I like the way Brother Ronnie Sutton brought it out. Some time back, you would have thought maybe Paul would have said, now look, I'm getting ready to lose my life because I've been preaching. And what you need to do is back off and don't be as aggressive as me. Don't preach it as hard as I did. Don't do like me. But here's what Paul said to young Timothy. Preach the word. Just preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. You know what he said? You just give it to them gun barrel straight just like I did. That's what he said to them. Oh my, That's what we've got to do, church. Paul, he kept preaching. In his preaching, he encouraged them. He rebuked them first. He said, y'all listen to me. Then he said, be of good cheer. My, you could just camp out on this message there and preach a little while on that. And I want to say it again. I know I've just kind of stammered around tonight, but I want to say it again. It's the Word of God that's going to help people. Don't ever get away from that. It's the Word of God that's going to help you. You know what's going to see our kids do in this wicked world? And our grandchildren, my grandchildren now. You know what's going to get them through? The Word of God. And if they ain't some old man of God, some word that's going to stand for what's right and tell them, thus saith the word of the Lord, they're in trouble. And I want to tell you young leaders, I've got some of you young people in the Sunday school class, and in 15 years, I just sitting there figuring who'll be gone in 15 years and who'll be left. I'll be 72 years old. I'll surely be, if I'm not dead, I'll be past doing much. And some of the rest of you will be right there with me, if not older. And you young folks are going to be there. Can I just tell you young 40-year-olds and 35-year-olds, preach the truth. Teach the truth. Don't compromise. Don't let the sway of the world move you to the right or the left. Just stay with the Word of God. Look them in the eye. Look my grandchildren in the eye. Preach them the pure truth of the Word of God. That's what'll help them. Oh my, here he is. He's preaching. That's the Word of God. It's going to help us in the perilous times. And it'll rebuke us, but it'll encourage us. And then we see that Paul was a pattern. I'm through. I probably should have quit, but Paul was a pattern. He was already taking cheer when he told them to be of good cheer. He had already put faith in God's message when he told them to believe God. He said, I believe God, you need to put your faith in it. Now, he didn't say that, but that's the implication. He said, you ought to eat, but you know what he did? He ate first. And when they saw him eating, they decided they'd eat. I want to say this to you leaders. You're leaders and not drivers. Here's what a leader does. He's out front leading it, going in the direction he wants the rest of them to go. Now, you can watch them old cowboy movies. They didn't lead. They drove the cattle. They'd get behind them and motivate them to go forward, whether it's shooting a gun up there or whatever it was. But they wasn't leading. They was driving. Can I tell you, in this Christian service, if you're in the work of the Lord, you're to lead, not drive. You can't drive sheep. You'll destroy them. You have to lead them. I don't know. Seems like I'm just preaching to maybe the 40, 45-year-old, 35, some of you guys that's in line to help this church go on someday. Be a leader. Don't expect more out of people than you're willing to do. Isn't that right? Ain't I preaching this right tonight? I've seen folks get up. I've seen people men in the pulpit preaching things they wasn't even doing. How's folks going to follow you when you ain't even doing what you want, where you want them to go? It just won't work. Paul was a leader. And my, we need not mistake driving for leading, but I want to give you one more and I'll close out tonight. I'm just talking about in the storm, we see this man rise to leadership. And he just refused to let his feelings get in the way. And he prayed, and he gave the Word of God. Every time he got an opportunity, he had given out the Word of God. My, we need to be like that today. And he set the example for others. We need some examples for our young folks to follow. And I know we keep kind of a high bar around here, or try to, and we've been accused of legalism and everything else, but I believe God wants us to live holy lives. I just believe that, church. You've got sin in your life, y'all deal with. We've got them little things, and we think it's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you, God can't overlook sin. I don't care how little it is, how big it is. Deal with your sin in your life. Set an example for these young folk. They're looking on. But I want you to notice what else he did. He identified pretense for what it was. It was a problem. Here's what they were doing. The sailors were going to cut the boat. They were going to let the boat down. And under cover, or under pretense, they was going to escape. And Paul said if they escape, those guys that act like they're doing a good work, if you don't do something about it, there's going to be some casualties. You know, nobody else saw those sailors doing what they saw them for what they were. Let me say it that way. Nobody else saw it, but Paul saw it. He saw that. He said, hey, they're trying to escape. That's who is navigating the boat. They're trying to escape. We're going to suffer loss if they don't stay on the boat. You know what the soldiers did? They cut the ropes. They're listening now. Now, some way or another, Paul, he's went from a captive. He's giving orders now. He's in command. He said, hey, they got to stay on the boat. They just cut the ropes and let the boat fall. He saw them for what they were. And my, you've got to have that. That's not in everybody. And it's a dangerous thing when you're put in that position, it's a dangerous thing because of the flesh. But you know what he did? He saw through their pretense. He saw through that. And there's a lot of pretenders out there today. That's really the truth, church. I hate to say it. If I were to die tomorrow, there might be some jackleg come through here, put on the best front, the best show you've ever seen. Preach exactly. He's smart enough to know what you need to hear. He's trying to work up a high shout and get you all excited. And he may not have one conviction. He may not have one godly standard in his life. He may not care one iota about young folk or about missions. He may not know, he may not have a handful of knowledge about the Word of God. But he can beguile and seduce you. Somebody has to be able to see that for what it is. We can't be, we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Leadership has to see through some things. That's what he done. And it saved the lives of, I don't know how many, there's, I believe 276 on the boat. And there would have been some losses. No doubt some would escape. There'd have been some casualties. Here's what I'm saying. Storms are coming. We've had probably a 10-year honeymoon at this church. Maybe the last 4 years not been as sweet as the first 10, but you know, for 10 years we just shouted out around here, and it's still pretty good. I think it's still pretty good sometimes. But can I tell you somewhere the storms may settle on the Richview Baptist Church? And we've got to have some leadership. We've got to have that. We've got to have some men that can stand for truth and pray, get the feelings out of the way, and set a good godly example and identify the problems for what they are. And if we can do that, you know, with the Lord's help, if we can get some men to do that, you know what we can do? We can just sail through them choppy waters. And may suffer a little material loss, but can I tell you, we'll not lose a soul with the Lord's help. Amen. We need godly leadership. I beg the leaders of this church to take this work serious. He says, just a little church on the side of the road. You don't know what God might be doing with us. You just don't know. He uses little things. My, you've all heard them messages on little things and all them, the little cloud and the little maid and all. Every one of you's heard them. God can use us for His glory and His honor. But I promise you, the storms are coming. And maybe right now tonight, it might be just a storm raging in your life. I don't know. Follow Paul's example. Let the Apostle Paul, the example he set, help us as we navigate through whatever's come our way. Maybe you need to pray tonight. I don't know. I just give you what God give me, and it's stirring me up when I started through this. And Brother Allen, if you would, just come to the piano. Maybe the Lord spoke to you. Maybe not. We'll have a verse of an invitation. I ask you just to bow your head tonight. God spoke to you, and you need to do business with God. You know what I say all the time. Just be obedient to the Spirit of God. Just obey Him tonight, if you would. One verse, Brother Allen. Nobody comes. We'll go home.